الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, we continue with our book شرح السنة by الإمام أبو إبراهيم المزني, one of the students of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i Rahimahum Allah. The point we look at today, inshallah, is one that is very, very dicey. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and make us understand better than it will be explained, inshallah. Al-Imam al-Muzani rahimahullah, he said, والإمساك عن تكفير أهل القبلة والبراءة منهم فيما أحدثوا ما لم يبتدعوا ضلالا فمن ابتدع منهم ضلالا كان على أهل القبلة خارجا ومن الدين مارقا ويتقرب إلى الله عز وجل بالبراءة منه ويهجر ويفتقر وتجتنب غدته فهي أعدى من غدة الجرب. الإمام المزني رحمه الله said, والإمساك عن تكفير أهل القبلة والبراءة منهم فيما أحدثوا ما لم يبتدعوا ضلالا فمن ابتدع منهم ضلالا كان على أهل القبلة خارجا ومن الدين مارقا ويتقرب إلى الله عز وجل بالبراءة منه ويهجر ويحتقر وتجتنب غدته فهي أعدى من غدة الجرب. We remember that the Imam rahimahullah, specified to explain what the Sunnah is in this book and what is not Sunnah. He specified to explain what is Sunnah in this book and what is not Sunnah. So here he explained to us some matters of Sunnah and some things that are not from the Sunnah. He says, وَالْإِمْسَاكُ عَنْ تَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. Part of the things of Sunnah is al-imsaku an takfiri ahli al-qibla, withholding from or keeping back from declaring the people of qibla as non-Muslims. Al-imsaku an takfiri ahli al-qibla, holding back from declaring the people of qibla as disbelievers. He says it is from the Sunnah that we should hold back. A Muslim should not be the person who is quick to declare the people of qibla, ahlul qibla, as non-Muslims. When these things are destructive, they are disadvantageous. when they become a distraction, they become a problem. But the Imam says, وَالْإِمْسَاكُ عَنْ تَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. We should hold back from declaring the people of Qibla as kafir. We have two or three issues here. The first issue here is, what does it mean to say Ahlul Qibla, the people of the Qibla? What does it mean? He says we should hold back, we should avoid declaring the people of Qibla as kuffar. So who are the people of Qibla? Al-Imam al-Tahawi, who is the son of the sister of Al-Muzani. Al-Imam al-Muzani has a sister, an elder sister with whom they learned from Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. That sister of his has a son, Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi. So al-Tahawi is the nephew from the mother side of who? Al-Muzani. In his more popular book than Sharh al-Sunnah of Al-Muzani, because Aqidatul al-Tahawiyya is more popular than Sharh al-Sunnah of Al-Imam al-Muzani. In his own book, Aqidatul al-Tahawiyya, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, Abu Ja'far, he said, Rahimahullah, while explaining who Ahlul Islam are. He said, وَنُسَمَّى أَهْلَ قِبْلَتِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَنُسَمَّى أَهْلَ قِبْلَتِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ. We call or we name the people of our Qibla, we name them Muslims, Mu'mins. Meaning that another word for Ahlul Qibla is what? Muslimun, Mu'minun. The Imam al-Tahawi said, وَنُسَمَّى أَهْلَ قِبْلَتِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Meaning that the people of our Qibla, we call them Muslims and Mu'min. Al-Imam Ibn Abi Izz al-Hanafi, who did a sharh of Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyya, he explained what Al-Imam al-Tahawi meant by Ahl al-Qibla. He said that means man yadda'i al-Islam, whoever ascribes to Islam, wa yastaqbilu al-Ka'ba, and then that person faces the Ka'ba. He says, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَاءِ أَوْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَعَاصِ. Even if that person is amongst the people of ahwa, innovation, desire, أَوْ الْمَعَاصِ, or the people of sin, as long as the person ascribes to Islam, as long as the person faces the Qibla, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَى مَا لَمْ يُكَذِّبْ بِشَيْءٍ مِمَّا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. As long as that person does not belie anything from amongst the things that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام has brought. Any person who faces the Qibla, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَاهِ وَالْمَعَاسِ. Even if that person is from the people of desire, innovation, and sin, مَا لَمْ يُكَذِّبْ بِشَيْءٍ مِمَّا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. As long as that person has not belied or rejected any of what the messenger brought, عليه الصلاة والسلام, like rejecting the Prophet himself, عليه الصلاة والسلام. There is a sect called Al-Isawiyyah. the followers of a man called Isa in Islamic history, amongst those who innovated things into Islam. These people believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually a messenger of Allah, but it's just a messenger of Allah to the Arabs, like Musa alayhi salam was messenger of Allah to who? Banu Israel. Like Isa alayhi salam is a messenger to who? Banu Israel. So they say, yes, although the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is a messenger of Allah, but it's just a messenger to the Arabs. And this implies rejection of the Quran, because the Quran says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have not sent you Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam illa kafatan linnas, except to the entirety of people. And the entirety of people implies both Arabs and non-Arabs. So when these people come and say, yes, the messenger is a messenger of Allah, but to Arabs alone, they have rejected something from amongst the things that the Prophet brought alayhi salatu. And amongst other examples, like Allah saying, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. The people of Qadr, who reject Qadr, they come and say, Allah does not have the knowledge of future events. He will only know about an event when it occurs. Meanwhile, Musa alayhi salam has told Fir'aun also in the Quran that لا يظل ربي ولا ينسى. My Lord had never been ignorant. The knowledge of Allah is never preceded with ignorance, which meant that whatever happens tomorrow, Allah knows it, because the knowledge of Allah was never preceded with ignorance. So that kind of belief implies rejection of the Quran, or rejection of what the Prophet brought alayhi salatu wasalam. We are saying that Ahlul Qibla are those who pray facing our Qibla, who ascribe to Islam, and then they pray, perform the salah facing the Qibla. Ma lam yukazzib bima jaa bihi aw bi shay'in mimma jaa bihi an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is the explanation of al-Imam Ibn Abi Izz al-Hanafi. This explanation itself is derived from a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. In it the Prophet said, Man salla salatana واستقبل قبلتنا وأكل ذبيحتنا فذلك المسلم. The Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام defines who a Muslim is. Says, من صلى صلاتنا, whoever prays as we pray, when we pray إيمانا واحتسابا, we pray out of iman that Allah has ordered us to perform this khams salawat. When we pray sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. So that salah, even if it has not added tawheed, it includes tawheed. Because when we make sajda, we believe nobody deserves this sajda except who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make ruku', we believe nobody deserves such ruku except who? Allah. When we say Allahu Akbar, we rightly believe in us that nobody is actually greater except who? Allah. So salatana includes akidatana. Whoever prays as we pray. This explanation of this hadith was given to it by Imam Badruddin Al-Aini. He said this hadith, even though the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has not mentioned iman, has not mentioned shahadatan, it includes them, because when we pray because Allah has ordered us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray following the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam with the intention of drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ صَلَّ صَلَاتَنَا. So whoever prays as we pray, وَاسْتَقْبَلَ قِبْلَتَنَا, and then he faces the same Qibla that we face. The A'imma, they say, why did he, after saying Salah, mention Qibla? when the Qibla is one of the shurut of Salah. Why did he say, وَاسْتَقْبَلَ قِبْلَتَنَا? The ulama say the mention of Qibla came because the Jews were praying with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So when Allah changed the Qibla, they ask, why is the Qibla changing? مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. What changed them? What made them change from the Qibla? So they refused to change because the Qibla was Baytul Maqdis. The Qibla before Hijrah was Baytul Maqdis in Palestine. That was where the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam used to say during Salah. So when Allah changed the Qibla, they refused to change. The Jews refused. And Imam Badruddin al-Aini, he said this means that the Jews are not part of this, even though they used to face our Qibla. By the Prophet mentioning وَاسْتَقْبَلَ قِبْلَتَنَا, it removes these Jews amongst them, even if they are praying as the Messenger was praying alayhi salatu wasalam, but they were not facing our Qibla. وَأَكَلَ ذَبِيحَتَنَا, and then this person eats what we slaughter. The ulama say there were some amongst the Jews also and the Christians who refused to eat the slaughterings of the Muslims. They refused. Today we know people refuse to eat the slaughterings of Muslims. So who eats our slaughterings, faces our Qibla, and performs the Salah as we pray? The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, فَذَلِكَ الْمُسْلِمُ, this is the Muslim. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, الَّذِي لَهُ ذِمَّةُ اللَّهِ, this person is the Muslim that has the guarantee of Allah, the guarantee of his life, and the guarantee of his property. He has the guarantee with Allah. What guarantee? Guarantee of his life and the guarantee of his property. They are safe as Muslims. He says alayhi salatu wasalam, وَذِمَّةُ رَسُولِهِ, that person also has guarantee from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet now said, فَلَا تُخْفِرُوا اللَّهَ فِي ذِمَّتِهِ, do not betray Allah in the trust, in the guarantee that he has guaranteed the people. Do not betray Allah's trust that he has given to people. Allah has guarantee with people. He has promised them, once you do these things, your life is safe, your property is safe. People should not come and violate this guarantee Allah has given to people by declaring those who have this attribute as non-Muslims. So that was why some of the scholars like Sheikh Anwar al-Kashmiri, he said regarding this hadith that وَأُخِذَ مِن نَحْوِ هَذِهِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, it is derived from the likes of these ahadith, لَقَبُ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, because the Prophet said وَاسْتَقْبَلَ قِبْلَتَنَا. لَقَبُ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, that nickname أَهْلُ الْقِبْلَةِ was taken from this kind of ahadith, لِأَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ, for the people of Islam. So as Muslims, we have nicknames. We have names Muslims, Mu'minun. We have Muslimun. We have Ahlul Islam. And we have what? Ahlul Qibla. So Ahlul Qibla are the Muslims, those who perform the Salah as we perform it, and those who eat the slaughterings of the Muslims, and those who face the Qibla that the Muslims face. When you see a person like this, he has the right of Muslims on you, as is in other riwayah of this hadith. Every right that the Muslim owes his brother, this person has it over you, and you have it regarding him. He prays, he faces the Qibla, he eats the zabiha or zabahih of the Muslims, and he does not belie any of what, to destroy all of these, he does not belie any of what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has brought. This person is from who? Min Ahli al-Qibla, from the people of al-Qibla. So we derive two things from this hadith. The first is the definition of Ahli al-Qibla, The second one is that it also discourages that those that are affirmed as from Ahlul Qibla, we must not violate that guarantee that Allah has guaranteed them. And one of the ways of violating that guarantee that Allah has guaranteed them is by referring to them as what? Non-Muslims, when they are actually what? Muslims. That was why Al-Imam Al-Muzani said, from the things of Sunnah, from the things of Islam, is Al-Imtaku an Takfiri Ahli Al-Qibla. We should hold back from declaring the people of Qibla as non-Muslims. In another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, وَمَنْ رَأَى مُؤْمِنًا بِكُفْرٍ. Anyone who ascribes a believer saying that that believer is a kafir, فَهُوَ كَقَتْلِهِ, it's as if he has killed that Muslim. Somebody is a Muslim. Somebody says, this person is a kafir. فَهُوَ كَقَتْلِهِ, it is as if that person that falsely ascribes this belief to that Muslim, it is as if he has done what? He has killed the Muslim. He's a murderer. He has the ruling of murder. And we all know Allah has prohibited murder. So this also shows Al-Imsaku an Takfiri Ahli Al-Qibla. Another hadith that discourages we Muslims from describing other Muslims as kuffar is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. In that hadith, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِأَخِيهِ يَا كَافِرُ, if a Muslim says to his brother, O kafir, referring to his brother, he says, فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهِ أَحَدُهُمَا, فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهِ أَحَدُهُمَا, it will return to one of them. One of them will certainly go with it. The ulama say, one, this is evidence that it is prohibited for a Muslim to refer to his brother as what? Kaf. So that is what the imam says. Al-insaku an takfiri ahli al-qibla. The Prophet says we should stop it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Say the person says to his brother, O kafir, فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهِ أَحَدُهُمَا, one of them will certainly go with it. So ulama say, if the person that is described as kafir is not actually a kafir, رَجَعَ إِلَىٰ قَائِلِهِ, it returns to the person who says it. The question is, what returns to him? What returns to the person? If a person says to his brother, O kafir, what goes back? بَاءَ بِهِ يَعْنِ رَجَعَ بِهِ, it will come back to one of them. Ulama say, what will come back to one of them? Does it mean that the one who said it now becomes a kafir that has gone out of Islam? Ulama say, no. He does not become a kafir. One of those who said that is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He says such a person does not become a kafir. It only indicates that he is carrying the major sin, the sin of declaring somebody as a kafir who is not a kafir. And in the second hadith he read, it says, kafatli. So the sin of declaring somebody who is not a kafir as a kafir is the sin of murdering. And we know that murder is not kufr. So that means what returns to the person is not that that person has now become a kafir, but a major thing comes back to you. If the person says to a Muslim, ya kafir, and that person is not actually a kafir, the thing of that declaration comes back to the person that has declared him as a kafir. It is not that that person that declared him as a kafir has automatically become a kafir. It only means that he has committed a major sin. Why? Because in another report of the same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls the sin of calling somebody who is not you as a kafir, as a kafir. The Prophet said it is like what? Killing him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And killing him is not kufr. Another reason why they say the person who spoke it does not necessarily automatically become a kafir is that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man qala li akhi, whoever says to his brother, ya kafir. So he's a Muslim, he's a Muslim. His brother, they are both brothers. They are brothers in Iman. They are brothers in Islam. Even if one of them is going to carry the sin of calling his brother a kafir. The third reason they gave to prove that, because many of the people think that if a person says, oh kafir, and the person that is calling a kafir is not a kafir, it means that the person who called him kafir is a kafir. Ulama say that is not the case. What happens is that that person has committed a major sin that can equal the sin of what? Murder. It is not that the second person becomes, that is the person who actually gave the appellation, becomes a kafir. It is not. But it means it is a major sin. Another reason they gave was that the Khawarij during the time of the companions, radiallahu anhu, the Khawarij were those who rebelled against Ali ibn Abi Talib. And they actually killed Ali ibn Abi Talib. The Khawarij are those who actually killed Ali ibn Abi Talib. They rebelled against him. They fought him. And they called him a kafir. They called the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kufar, including people like Ubadah ibn Salih and others amongst the companions. They are called Khawarij because Kharaju, they came out, they rebelled against the rest of the Muslims and declared them non-Muslims. It is not just that they will kill them and confiscate their property, as they did with Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn Arad, one of the children of the companions. They met him, they killed him, they took his property. They are used to that. So these people, the Khawarij, when they declared Ali radiallahu anhu and the rest of the companions as kafir, and we know by consensus that Ali radiallahu anhu was not a kafir, was actually a mu'min, the companions did not declare them as kufar. When the Khawarij declared the companions as kufar, the companions in return did not declare the Khawarij as kufar. Meaning that hadith does not mean that if a person calls another person a kafir, Khawarij calls the Sahaba kufar. The Sahabas are not kufar, radiallahu anhu. We know certainly they are not kufar. But they did not say because these people declared them as kufar, then it meant that those people who declared them kufar are kufar. The companions did not do that. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentioned ijma'ul sahaba, that there is ijma' of the sahaba that the Khawarij are not kufar. And likewise, al-Imam Hamd al-Khattabi rahimahullah, he also mentioned that the Muslims have a consensus amongst the scholars of the Ummah that the Khawarij are not kufar. There are other issues around that. The point of reference here is that al-imsaku an takfiri ahli al-qibla. We should avoid declaring the people of Qibla as what? Kufar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us from doing that. We should hold back. People are used to that. This one kafir, that kafir, that kafir. This is similar to a statement made by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in his Fatawa, the 7th volume, page 217. He says, لا يجعل أحد بمجرد ذنب يذنبه ولا ببدعة ابتدعها. لا يجعل أحد بمجرد ذنب يذنبه. We are not going to count anyone just because of a sin that he committed. ولا ببدعة, or because of a bid'ah that he fell into. ابتدعها, that he even innovated. We are not going to count them kafiran as kuffar. وَلَوْ دَعَ النَّاسَ إِلَيْهَا. Even if such a person invites to that bid'ah, there is a person of bid'ah. He invites to the bid'ah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, لَا يُجْعَلُ أَحَدٌ بِمُجَرَّدِ ذَنْبٍ أَذْنَبَهُ يَذْنِبُهُ. We are not going to count as a non-Muslim a Muslim who only commits a sin, وَلَا بِبِدْعَةٍ ابْتَدَعَهَا, or because of an innovation that he committed. وَلَوْ دَعَ النَّاسَ إِلَيْهَا. Even if such a person is one who does what? He invites to bid'ah. كَافِرًا فِي الْبَاطِ. We are not going to say he's actually a kafir, even in his heart. إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ مُنَافِقًا. Except if that person is a munafiq. The munafiq are kuffar. Actually kuffar. But they show Islam. You see the wisdom in not declaring Ahlul Qibla as kuffar. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were munafiqun in Medina. Inside their heart was kufr, but they showed Islam. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam did not say, "Oh, because I'm aware that they are munafiqun, so they are kuffar," because they showed Islam. So whoever shows Islam, he prays as you pray, he eats what you slaughter, he goes all around with you, he's a Muslim. The basic ruling is that he's a Muslim. You don't rule regarding what is in his heart. It suffices that he prays with you, he goes all around with you. You don't say this one is careful. It is common to find young people who declare people who have committed an innovation as careful. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that it is wrong. لَا يُجْعَلُ أَحَدٌ بِمُجَرَّدِ ذَنْبٍ يَذْنِبُهُ. No one should be counted consequent upon a particular sin that he committed. وَلَا بِبِدْعَةٍ إِبْتَدَعَهَا, or consequent upon a particular innovation that he committed and innovated. وَلَوْ دَعَ النَّاسَ إِلَيْهَا. Even if that person is the person who invites to such innovation, كَافِرًا. لَا يُجْعَلُ أَحَدٌ كَافِرًا. Is not going to be counted as a kafir till baatin, inside his heart. Illa idha kana munafiqan, except if that person is a munafiq. He said rahimahullah, fa amma man kana fi qalbihi al-iman, as for those who have the iman in their heart, bil rasul, in the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, they accept and believe in the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَا جَاءَ بِهِ. They also believe in what the Prophet has brought عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَقَدْ غَلِطَ فِي بَعْضِ مَا تَعَوَّلَ مِنَ الْبِدَعِ. Even though he could have erred in some consideration in his interpretation of certain matters, he fell into innovation as a result. He got from that of the Quran or a hadith. By way of interpreting that hadith, he got to become that he is innovating an innovation. When this kind of a thing matters, he says, rahimahullah, he says, فَهَذَا لَيْسَ بِكَافِرٍ أَصْلًا. فَهَذَا لَيْسَ بِكَافِرٍ أَصْلًا. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that kind of a person is essentially or basically not a kafir. He wants to give us proof. He says, وَالْخَوَارِجْ كَانُوا أَظْهَرَ النَّاسِ. He says, وَالْخَوَارِجْ كَانُوا أَظْهَرَ النَّاسِ بِدْعَةً. The Khawarij showed a lot of innovation. They came out against Ali, رضي الله عنه, and they declared the companions of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, as non-Muslims. And they showed their bid'ah, وَكِتَالًا لِلْأُمَّةِ, and they fought the ummah. They used to kill Muslims and leave non-Muslims. Al-Khawarij. It is Muslims that they kill, because they will declare those Muslims as non-Muslims. This is what you find in our communities now. Those people you see killing Muslims, they didn't just kill them, they first declare them as non-Muslims. So they kill them that they are renegades, they are apostates, murtadun. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, فَهَذَا لَيْسَ بِكَافِرٍ أَصْلًا. if a person commits an innovation and even invites to that innovation, it is not sufficient to declare that kind of a person as a kafir. The evidence for that is that Al-Khawarij kanu min abhari nas bid'ata. They are from among the people who showed a lot of innovation. Wa qitalan lil ummati. And they fought the Muslims quite much. Wa takfiran. Likewise, they were declaring Muslims as kafir. Walakin لم يكن في الصحابة من يكفرهم. There wasn't anyone amongst the companions who declared those people as kuffar. لا علي بن أبي طالب. Not Ali رضي الله عنه. ولا غيره. Not any other person amongst those early Muslims, the companions and their students. بل حكموا فيهم بحكمهم في المسلمين. The ruling they gave them was the rule they gave to the general Muslims. الظالمين المعتدين. Those who are ظالمون, wrongdoers, المعتدين, aggressors. They ruled the Khawarij as what? Aggressors. They did not rule the Khawarij as what? Kuffar. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned this, rahimahullah. It is كما ذكرت الآثار عنهم لذلك في غير هذا الموضع. I have mentioned the narrations regarding this matter in elsewhere. This fatwa occurs in the 7th volume, page 217 of Majmu' Fatawa. So it is wrong for people because they see a person committing an innovation, they say it was kafir. It is not from the aspects of sunnah. That is why Imam al-Muzani said, وَالْإِمْسَاكُ أَنْ تَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ وَالْإِمْسَاكُ أَنْ تَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. We should hold back from declaring the people of Qibla as what? As kafir. In the next phrase of that point it says, وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا. وَالْإِمْسَاقُ أَنْ تَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا. Al-bara'atu minhum. We must keep away. We must avoid the Muslims. Fima ahdathu. In the ihdath they have. Ma ahdathu. Or in whatever they ahdathu. Because I want to explain what al-ihdath is. Al-ihdath could mean two things. And they actually mean two things here. Al-Ihdath could mean an innovation. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, bid'ah. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, man ahdafa fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa rajul. We know this hadith. This ihdath is ihdath ibtida' regarding innovation. Bid'ah. Al-Ihdath can also mean committing major sins. Al-Ihdath could also mean to commit major sins. And the evidence for that is also another hadith that was reported by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and Ali ibn Abi Talib. The hadith occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, man ahdasa muhdasan, whoever innovates any innovation, or whoever commits any major sin, aw awa muhdasan, or support, give shelter to a sinful person, or a person of innovation. Man ahdasa muhdasan, whoever commits any major sin, aw awa muhdasan, or give support and shelter to a sinful person, to a person who commits a major sin in the Sharia. He says alayhi salatu wa salam, فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. May the woe of Allah be upon him. Wal malaikati. May the curse also of the angels. ajma'in. May the cause of the entirety of human beings be on him. You can ask, it says ahdatha, and it mentions muhditha. Why do we say it is regarding wrongdoing, things, major things? Al-Imam ibn Battal al-Maghribi, rahimahullah, explained this hadith in his Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari. He says, rahimahullah, dalla al-hadith, he says this hadith points to the fact that ala anna man awa ahla al-ma'asi, that whoever gives support and shelter to the people of wrongdoings, annahu yusharikuhum fil ithm, that he is with them, he will share with them in the sin of that evil that they commit. فَإِنَّ مَنْ رَضِيَ فِيْلَ قَوْمٍ وَعَمَلَهُمْ إِنْ تَحَقَ بِهِمْ, because whoever becomes pleased with an action of the people or their deeds, it becomes amongst them. The point of reference here is that this Imam Ibn Battal, he refers this hadith to who? Ahlul Ma'asi. So that is why the likes of Shaykh Yahya al-Najmi also considers these points. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ, he also considers it to be referring to those who commit innovations and those who commit major sins. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ, in that sense, will now mean we will distance ourselves from أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَى فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ, when they commit major sins, or when they do what? When they commit an innovation. Because al-ihdath means to innovate or to commit a major sin. I hope this point is clear. Al-Imam al-Shatibi in al-Isisam, he also gave that explanation that that hadith, man awa aw awa muhditan, the one who supports a wrongdoer, means the one who supports a sinful person. So, al-ihdath could mean innovation, and al-ihdath fi din could also mean to commit a major sin. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam calls the person who supports a person who commits a major sin, is giving him support. Don't worry, we will cover you up, we will defend you, we will protect you. La'natullahi alayk, may the curse of Allah be upon those who do that, who protect and defend those who commit major sin upon their major sin. May Allah protect us from that evil. So this phrase here says, وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ, وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ, وَالْإِمْسَاكُ أَنْ تَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, we should avoid declaring the people of Qibla as non-Muslims. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ, we should also avoid them, فِي مَا أَحْدَثُ, in the innovations that they innovate. People of innovation are, for example, performing an innovation somewhere. Don't go there. Don't join that innovation. Not only that, don't go to the places where innovations are committed. Avoid it. Not only innovations, major things. If you have a brothel, well known to be a brothel, what should a Muslim do there? From bara'at minhum is to keep away from those places where those evils are committed. So after explaining the point, the next thing you will ask is, what is the evidence for that bara'at? What is the proof for avoiding ma ahdathu, the sins they commit or the innovations that they innovate? What is the evidence for that? The ulama cite the verse in Surah Al-An'am. They say, Allah says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا, when you see those who delve, they delve in the signs, or they delve regarding Allah's signs, they make jest of it, they reject it. Ulama say it covers all aspects of sin. Al-khawd fi ayatillah has to do with sin. When you see people committing sin, Allah says, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. Turn away from them. Don't join them in that thing. Don't commit the same thing. Don't stay in the place where that thing is being committed. Go away from the place. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. وَإِمَّا يُنْتِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Other readers of the Quran say, وَإِمَّا يُنَكْتِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ. If shaitan makes you forget, you are there when they started making jest of the deen. You are there when they started committing sins. You forgot. Shaitan made you forget. May Allah protect us. Allah says, فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَا الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Once you remember, do not continue to sit down with wrongdoers. So this is evidence for al-bara'atu minhum fima ahdathu. Allah prohibits us from staying with sinful people at the time they are committing sin. He prohibits us from staying in the places where they are committing the sin. And it prohibits us from joining and committing the sin. فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى. After you remember, do not sit with them. مَا الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. With those who are sinful. The explanation for this verse as given was given by Imam Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki. It was also given by Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah and others amongst the early Muslims, that this verse indicates, and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, in his own explanation, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam, he says this is the first level of hajj. Hajj al-bara'at min insanin, or min shay'in. Keeping away, disconnecting from something or people. The acting, the rulings regarding hajj al-muslim, abandoning a Muslim, a person from Ahlul Qibla. When does it become allowed for us to keep away from him? To keep him aside, when? He said there are two levels to it. The first level, he called it at-tarku lil munkarat, avoiding that thing he's committing itself. And in giving the explanations, he further said, avoiding the sin, avoiding that person when he's committing the sin, as this verse indicates, avoiding that place where the sin is committed. You don't commit the sin. You avoid that person committing the sin at the time that he's committing the sin. You also avoid the place where the sin is being committed. In the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal both report this hadith. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, فَلَا يَجْلِسْ عَلَى مَائِدَةٍ يُشْرَبُ عَلَيْهَا الْخَمْرُ. Let him not sit on a table that alcohol is taking. Ulama say two things. Let him not sit on a table that alcohol is taking at the time they are taking alcohol. Then let him not sit on a table that alcohol is taking. If he knows that people sit here and take alcohol, don't sit down there. He says, Man kana yu'min billahi wal yawmil akhir. Whoever believes in Allah and the day of Qiyamah should not do this. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, this is avoiding al-munkarat, evil deeds. The same thing applies to innovation. If you see people committing innovation, don't commit that innovation. Don't join them in committing that innovation. Avoid that innovation. This is the first level of al-hajr in Islam. But what if a person commits a particular thing, a major thing perhaps, and then he comes to the masjid? The best of what you do, you talk to him, you admonish him and all that. This has not reached the level of complete disconnection. It only says avoid the sin, avoid him when he is committing the sin, and avoid the place where the sin is committed. Al-Imam Muzani also explained the second point in Al-Hajj. But I think if we go on to explain it now from the explanations given by Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, it will make the matter clearer, inshallah. Although, regarding this first level, let's quickly say that. Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah gave two exemptions. He says, Rahimahullah, بخلاف من حضر عندهم للإنكار عليهم. من حضر عندهم للإنكار. Somebody who is there in that place where they commit that evil. Because he wants to do what? He wants to prohibit them from doing that thing. So for example, people make Hijrah Day. They say, come and give a lecture about importance of Sunnah. If you wait and see that your da'wah will be accepted, you can attend that kind of a gathering and then preach against that gathering that you have gathered. Because it is not from the Sunnah to gather on the first day of Hijrah or make any form of celebration on that day. The Hijrah itself was brought about by the companions. They were the ones that migrated. The dating itself was established by Umar radiallahu anhu. They were the ones that established the day. They did not establish an Eid following that day of Hijrah. But now Muslims have done that. They do lectures, they do that. They say they want to create awareness. You can create awareness for the Hijrah calendar without having to start another innovation. You want to remove one innovation of using a calendar outside the calendar of Sharia. And you are innovating another thing that the Sharia prohibits. And it is something that you can avoid. You can do your mobilization on different days, different times of the year. You don't have to do it on the very first day of Hijrah, like the non-Muslims are celebrating the 1st of January. You now want to celebrate 1st of Muharram. That itself is Muharram. It is prohibited. It is not allowed in the Sharia. So what we are saying is that the first level of abandoning people is abandoning what they do, the sin itself, the place where they commit the sin, and the people at the time that they are committing the sin, except if the person has to be in that place by way of educating the people and prohibiting them from that sin. Then it is allowed to be in such places. The second exception he gave, rahimahullah, he says, أَوْ حَضَرَ بِغَيْرِ اخْتِيَارِهِ. The authority carry him like this, and they dump him there. If you don't go there, we will shoot you. We will do this. They compel him to attend. Then in that circumstance, such an individual may attend, according to Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Two exemptions. A person that is going to a place to condemn what is done there, and the person who is brought to a place by compulsion. These are those that are exempted from the first category. The second category of al-hajru, abandoning a person of innovation or abandoning a person of sin, is al-hajru ala wajhi ta'dib, the avoidance, the boycott you make ala wajhi ta'dib, by way of disciplining the person, was ta'zir, and giving some punishment to him so that he realizes the evil in what he does. You abandon him because of that. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, وَالتَّعْزِيرُ يَكُونُ لِمَنْ ظَهَرَ مِنْهُ تَرْكُ الْوَاجِبَاتِ يَكُونُ لِمَنْ ظَهَرَ مِنْهُ تَرْكُ الْوَاجِبَاتِ. This is for those that we see that abandoning major obligations, wajibat, compulsory things of worship, they abandon it. Like someone who doesn't come for salah in the masjid, even though he prays in his house. We are going to tell him, come to the masjid. And when he rejects, we boycott him too. Because it is a major thing not to commit, not to observe the salah inside the masjid with the rest of the Muslims. So he said, rahimahullah, لمن ظهر منه ترك الواجبات. That is for those who leave an obligatory duty. وفعل المحرمات. Boycotting a person could be because he abandoned obligations or because he commits sins. كتارك الصلاة والزكاة. Like a person who abandons salah and zakah. وَالتَّظَاهُرِ بِالْمَظَالِمِ. And a person who goes out shouting, oh, I've been duped. Like we mentioned earlier in, I think, the last two classes. وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. And the person who becomes popular for a fahisha. He became popular for a fahisha or fawahish. Usually in the Sharia, when the word fahisha is mentioned, although it could mean all major things, usually it is used regarding things regarding issues of women. Somebody doesn't have a clear reputation regarding women. These kind of people, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, we abandon them by way of what? At-ta'dibu wa ta'zir. By way of disciplining them and by way of giving them some light punishment. And if you look down the fatwa, you will see he was saying that especially if that will make such individuals to realize the evils that they have committed, we have to boycott them. Rahimahullah. He says later also in the fatwa, he says, لِأَنَّهُ أَظْهَرَ الْمُنْكَرَاتِ. Because this person made evil to be known. فَاسْتَحَقَّ الْعُقُوبَ. As a result, he becomes deserving of punishment. بِخِلَافِ الْكَاتِمِ. Unlike a person who committed a sin that was hidden. Nobody knew. Such a person, does, even if one who knows, they do not need to abandon him because of the sin. It's not under this category. But somebody commits a sin regarding zina, regarding fahisha, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people become aware. Unfortunately, such individuals feel arrogant as a result. It is from the deen that such individuals must be given this ta'dib and ta'zib. He must be boycotted by the Muslims. Why? لِأَنَّهُ أَظْهَرَ الْمُنْكَرَ. He makes munkar to be known. بِخِلَافِ الْكَاتِ. Unlike somebody whose sin was hidden. He says, فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ شَرًّا مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Because there are no worse people, or there were no worse people in the ummah like the munafiqun. الذين كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, those that the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام يقبل على نيتهم. He was accepting their whatever they brought publicly. They say we are Muslim. Allah says يقولون بألسنتهم ما ليس في قلوبهم. They accepted. They said with their mouth, we are Muslims like you. We are do this. We are do that. They say, okay, we accept. Come, you are with us. وَيَكِلُ سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. But he left their hidden matters to Allah. Meaning that a person commits a sin that was not known. The sin is not popular. No matter how grievous that sin is, you don't disconnect with him. But a person commits a sin that becomes popular and he grows arrogant with it. It is obligatory for us to disconnect from such individuals because they have shown munkar. Later down in the fatwa, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was saying that is by way of protecting him, making him realize the evil and protecting the rest of the Muslims also from his evil. So that they do not begin to think that what he has done is correct. After all, Ustaz Lagbaja did it, nothing happened. This week, a parent whose child has graduated from the university, so it's not a young person, he called to ask if I know a madrasa in a place not around us here, not Ede. He called to ask if I know a madrasa in a place. I say I do not know any madrasa there, but I know some people who are indigents of that town. Let me call them and ask them. So I called somebody. The person said, The person said, okay, I'll get back to somebody who is my sister, who is living inside the town. When the person wrote to me back in a message, the person said, my sister said that that madrasa is actually madrasa of sunnah, but women are not safe there. This kind of madrasa, women must not go there. If it becomes a madrasa where even the men, the young boys, know that their elders and those who teach them in such a madrasa commit such evils, then it also becomes prohibited to take those boys there. Because if you know that and take them there, you are telling that boy that he can go ahead with whatever he sees those people doing there. So you can see, the women say, oh, there is madrasa, but the madrasa is not safe for women. And there is a lot of meaning regarding that. So when you know a madrasa like that, it means the people begin to show fahisha. The madrasa must be warned regarding that it must be boycotted. There is also explanation further down in the fatwa. The imam said these two kinds of boycott that I am explaining, it has to do with when the individual that commits the sin that is hidden or that commits the sin that becomes known will benefit from the hajj, from the boycott. It will make him realize what he has done is bad, and the rest of the people will take lessons and refrain from it. But if abandoning him will not change anything, in fact, it may make him grow worse. It may make him become somebody who begins to harm people and do other worse things, then we should not make hajj of those individuals. But if it will make those individuals to refrain from the evil, if it will make them to be seen by the rest of the people that they have done evil, and this kind of evil that this person has done, we all should avoid it, then it is obligatory on us to abandon such individuals. These are the two forms of al-hajru that he explained, and they both have to do with different considerations, as the case may be, as we have tried to explain. Back to our book, the Imam said, Rahimahullah, وَالْإِمْسَاكُ أَنْ تَكْفِيرِ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ. We should avoid declaring the people of Qibla as kuffar. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُمْ فِيمَا أَحْدَثُ. We should also keep away from them when they make an innovation. We have explained two levels of keeping away. Keeping away, boycotting the sin, boycotting the place, boycotting them when they are committing the sin, the first level. As long as they have not shown the sin. When they show the sin or commit an innovation that is kufuriyah, we are coming back to that because Al-Muzani himself explained this point further. When they commit major things that become popular, as we have explained, then it is obligatory for us to boycott them by way of what? Ta'adib and ta'zir. By way of disciplining them and punishing them slightly so that they understand the grievousness of the sin that they have committed. Then the Imam said, Rahimahullah, مَا لَمْ يَبْتَدِعُوا ضَلَالًا. As long as they have not innovated a misguidance, ضَلَالًا, or any form of misguidance, ضَلَالًا, it came with a nakra, any form of innovation, مَا لَمْ يَبْتَدِعُوا ضَلَالًا. As long as they have not innovated any innovation, or as long as they have not innovated an innovation, a misguidance, dalala. But this word dalala has a lot of meaning in the Sharia. It does not only mean misguidance. Al-Imam Al-Raghib Al-Asfahani, this Imam, some of the people wrongly think that is amongst the Mu'tazila. But Al-Imam al-Zahabi and after him Al-Imam al-Suyuti and others mentioned that Al-Raghib al-Asfahani is from the people of Sunnah. And they made a lot of mention regarding this book that we are quoting from and other work that the Imam has done to indicate that he's from the people of Sunnah. Al-Imam Rabi' rahimahullah, he says, Dalal. We want to explain what Dalal means generally, and what does it mean here? What does Dalala mean? And what does it mean here? Al-Imam Rajib al-Asfahani, he says, وَهُوَ الْعُدُولُ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He says, Dalala is swerving away, turning away from الطَّرِيقُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, from the right path. He said, Rahimahullah, عَمْدًا كَانَ أَوْ سَهْوًا. Whether the person who swerved, who went away from the right path, did it amdan, intentionally, or sahawan, or mistakenly, falilan kana or kathira, whether such deviation was much or the deviation was small. It says, fasaha an yusta'amal. It says, in that case, it becomes allowed, it becomes correct to use lafzul dalal, this word abdalal, mimman yakunu minhu khata umma, regarding anyone who commits any form of a mistake. Rahimahullah says, walizalika nutiba abdalal ila al-anbiya. That is the reason why that word abdalal has been used regarding some of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, like Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when he killed the second person amongst the people of Fir'aun. He went to help somebody, he hit the man, and the man died, I think in Shu'ara. He says, فَعَلْتُهَا وَأَنَا مِنَ الظَّالِينَ. I did that while I was making a mistake. I was erring. It was an error. It was a mistake. Because you will realize, as soon as Musa hit the man and he fell down, he says, this is from the work of Shaitan. If he had actually intended to kill the man, he would not have felt any remorse. Musa alayhi salam killed that man mistakenly, and yet Allah says he was amongst Dalul. Meaning that a mistake, no matter how minor it is, as the Imam said, could count as what? Abdalal. He says also, وَلِذَلِكَ نُتِبَ الضَّلَالُ إِلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. That is the reason why Dalal sometimes is mentioned regarding the Prophet. Even our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah said to him, وَوَبْيَدَكَ ضَلًا فَهَدَى. We found you not having, you had not received Nubuwa at the time. You had not become a messenger at the time. Fahada, we gave you messengership. We made you become a messenger. So this word is not all about misguidance. Dalal does not only mean misguidance. It could mean khata'un, as we gave in the example of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. It could also mean nisyan, to forget something, as Allah mentioned in the Quran regarding the two women in the verse, the longest verse in the Quran. It says, "Anta billa ishdahuma fatuzakira ishdahuma al-ukhraku." So the women should be with two witnesses, so that in case one of them forgets, the other one would remind her. Allah is talking about nisyan, and it is jibili in their own case. It is natural. In their case, Allah is talking about how women are. One woman can forget, another woman can remind her. So when she forgets, Allah says, Tabilla, it's Dalala. Forgetfulness could also mean that. Likewise, Jahlun, ignorance, can also count as Dalal. Like Musa said, La yadhillu Rabbi wa la yansa. My Lord was never ignorant, and he does not forget. Both of them imply Dalala. Or fisk, as the case may be, or kufur. These ones are clear. When it is fisk, it is clearly dalala. When it is kufur, so dalala could mean a wide range of things. It could mean a mistake. It could mean forgetfulness. It could mean fisk. It could mean ignorance. It could mean even missing your role. When you miss your role, it counts as aspect of dalala, because you are no more on tariq al-mustaqim. So the question is, what does an Imam al-Muzani, what does he mean here when he says, مَا لَمْ يَبْتَدِعُ ضَلَالَ. It appears that he means al-bid'atul mukaffira. that wal imsaku an takfiri ahli al-qibla, avoid declaring the people of Qibla as kuffar. Wal bara'at minhum fima ahdathu, but when they innovate an innovation or they commit major sin, avoid it. Ma lan yabtadi'u dalala, as long as they have not committed an innovation that can take somebody out of Islam. When they commit an innovation that can take somebody out of Islam, he now mentioned the ruling regarding that. But around here there are issues. When we say a bid'ah, but the Messenger says alayhi salatu wa salam, kullu bid'atin dalala, kullu dalalatin finnar. Does it now mean that some bid'ah are mufassiqa and some are mukaffira? We say yes. You mean some bid'ah make a person to be a fasiq? That is clear. We also say some bid'ah make some people to become kuffar. Two levels, two different groups of bid'ah. One of the evidence is this work of this imam. It says wal bara'at minhum fima ahdathu. He has talked about ihdath, from which is innovation. And now he's talking about dalala again. They could not mean the same thing. And then he'll be talking about two different things, with the same thing with two different rulings. I hope this point is clear. Shaykh Ubayd ibn Abdullah al-Jabiri also considers it that this statement, dalala, refers to the dalala of bid'atul mukaffira. We also say that it refers to the dalala of bid'atul mukaffira because the teacher of al-Muzani, al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he is from amongst those who allow that we can have riwayah of ahadith from the people of bid'ah. If al-Imam al-Shafi'i considers the people of bid'ah, generally speaking, to be kuffar, he will not allow us to report hadith from them. Imam al-Shafi'i, the teacher of al-Muzani, he has the opinion that it is allowed for us to have riwayah from the people of bid'ah, as long as those people do not say that it is legal for them to tell lies. So the likes of the Khawarij, the likes of some of the Mu'tazila, riwayah of hadith, to report hadith, is allowed. So it means actually that an Imam al-Shafi'i does not consider all anyone who commits a bid'ah to be from amongst the kuffar. Because if he were from amongst the kuffar, he will not allow that we should report hadith from them. It also means that al-Muzani, his student, is upon that. We are saying, why do we consider this as dalala? This dalala as bid'atul mukaffira. We say firstly because some of the scholars who explained this book have said that. Secondly, because al-Imam al-Muzani has mentioned a form of bid'ah before this one, which will be bid'ah mufassiqa. So when he's mentioning this, he'll be mentioning bid'atul mukaffira because he gave two different meanings regarding the two of them. The first one is lighter, the second one is stricter. And we understand that word, dalala, means a lot of things in the Sharia. It means before we take it that it means this, we must have indicators. What the ulama we refer to as what? Qara'in. That will indicate that it means this. So we are saying that abdalala ma lam yabtabi'u dalalan huna, it is talking about bid'atu mukaffira. The bid'ah that takes somebody out of Islam. What are our qara'in? The first is that some of the ulama who gave the sharh of this hadith, like Shaykh Ubayd ibn Abdullah al-Jabiri, explained it like that. Likewise, Shaykh Ali ibn Hassan al-Halabi, he also gave the same explanation. Then, secondly, al-Imam al-Muzani himself is the student of al-Shafi'i. And al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah allows the Ummah to report hadith from people of innovation. If he considered the entirety of the people of innovation to be kuffar, as some people think today here around us, al-Imam al-Shafi'i will not say that it is allowed for us to report hadith from them. These are our qara'in. The third one is the fact that he had mentioned an aspect of innovation. Fourth, and then he's mentioning another aspect of innovation. It is not possible that on both cases he was mentioning bid'atu mukaffira, or he was mentioning on both cases bid'atu mufassiqa. So that is the reason why we say balala here means bid'atu mukaffira. The second issue, are you saying yes, there are some bid'ah that are mufassiqa and mukaffira? We say yes. You ask us, what is the dalil to say bid'ah could be mufassiqa and mukaffira? We say ijma'u sahaba. If you ask us, what is the ijma'? We say Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, before him, al-Imam Khattabi rahimahullah, he says, ajma'a ulama'u al-Muslimin. The scholars of the Muslims are agreed that the companions did not make takfir of Khawarij. And the Khawarij are amongst the Firaqul Dhalla. So if the companions did not make takfir of them, because Iman is what the companions consider as Iman, and kufur is what the companions consider as kufur. I didn't say that, Allah said it. It says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Whoever believes in the way you companions believe is rightly guided. If you believe the way they believe, you are rightly guided. And then Allah says, آمَنَ الرَّسُولِ. And then he mentioned the companions. So the companions know Iman and they know kufur. They did not declare the Khawarij as kuffar. And the Khawarij are amongst the people of innovation, well known in the Ummah as people of innovation. Yet the companions are agreed, and likewise those amongst the ulama who came after them, they are agreed that these people, the Khawarij, we are not entirely kuffar. So if they are not kuffar, then we should believe that it means that some people should have an innovation that is not kufur. That is bid'ah. It is mufassiqa, but it is not what? Mukaffira. What is our dalil? The companions have an ijma. This ijma is being reported by two different persons. It is mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah, and it was mentioned before him by Al-Imam Al-Khattabi, that there is consensus that the Khawarij are not kuffar. The third proof is Ijma'ul Ummah itself. The entirety of the scholars of the Ummah. You ask me why? If you go back to Sahih al-Bukhari, you find a hadith of people of innovations there. There is riwayah of Mubtadi'in there. Those who were known for their innovation. And yet, those ahadith are reported in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the Ummah is agreed upon the authenticity of Sahih al-Bukhari. So if you say a bid'ah necessarily must be kufur, then you are saying that there are reports of kufar in Sahih al-Bukhari. And like Al-Imam Ali ibn Abdullah al-Madini said, if you remove the reports of the people of Basra, and you remove the reports of the people of Itizal from the books will be empty. So if you accept that Sahih al-Bukhari is Sahih, and you must accept, then it means you accept that bid'ah could be what? Mukaffira and mufassiqa, because Sahih al-Bukhari has reports of the people of bid'ah. But there are ways that the ulama report from them. It has its own shurut that I don't think this is the place. It has its own conditions that they must fulfill. But if they were kuffar, this is the point we want from that reference. If those people are entirely kafir, then it means we must not see any person from amongst the reporters in Sahih Bukhari who must be a person of a bid'ah. It means this is evidence. And the entirety of the Ummah accepts. Even those who shout and say every bid'ah is mukaffira, even they accept Sahih al-Bukhari as a book of evidence. They have not singled out Shaykh Muhammad ibn Sa'id Raslan is one of the scholars of Egypt. Hafizahullah. He has a book in four volumes. Al-Ruwat, Al-Mubadda'un, Min Rijali Kutub al-Sitta. Six books of hadith. Those who were declared, who were graded as from among the people of innovation. From the six books, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. He went one after the other, and he will mention the innovation that they were committing. And he will describe them, and he described why they reported from them. He did not refer to these people as entirely kuffar. So, there is necessarily bid'atun mufassiqa and bid'atun mukaffira. Bin ijma. If you say, what is our evidence? Our evidence is ijma. Except you want to tell us, you have to go back to Sahih Bukhari now and start removing the ahadith. I can tell you some of them. There is Al-Imam Thawr ibn Yazid al-Himsi. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, Thiqatun Qadariyun. Qadari, Thiqat. Qadari, Ahlul Qadar are those who rejected Qadar. Is it bid'atun i'tiqadiyya or not? Yet Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, is what? Thiqah. So you declaring every innovator as a kafir. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal here is connecting between two things. Between tawthiq, grading him trustworthy, and what? Mentioning his innovation. It means if he were a kafir, it would have been even just a qadari kafir. Like he mentions regarding the Jahmiya, those who held that Allah does not have attributes. Allah is nullity. It's not here, it's not there, it's not anywhere. It does not have any attributes. We just know there is Allah. Al-Jahmiya. These people like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal declare them as kuffar. And some even among the people of Qadar. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, if you read the book Al-Iman with the tahqiq of Shaykh al-Albani, you see he was declaring some amongst the people of Qadar as kuffar because Abdullah ibn Umar declared Ma'bad al-Juhani and those who follow him as kafir. Ma'bad was the one who innovated Qadar. It means the matter is not just give and take. Some cases, they declare them as kuffar because their case necessitated that they are declared as their kuffar. And in some other cases, they declare them as fasikun because their case deserves that they declare them as what? Fasikun. There is no blanket rule that they are all fusak or they are all kafirun. Nah. Some of them are fusak because of their bid'ah and some of them are kuffar because of their bid'ah. That is why we say there is bid'atun mufassiqa and there is bid'atun mukaffira. The dalil, don't forget, is ijma. They too, they are part of the ijma. Because they will not reject Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Even if they reject other books. So when they come out and say, ah, ele, what's the video? Keverini, we say to them, wal imtaq wa antakfiri ahli al-kibla wal bara'atu minhum fima ahdathu ma lam yamtabi'u zalala. This is a statement of Al-Imam al-Muzani. Rahimahullah. So that is the meaning of dalala here. Dalala means here bid'atun mukaffira. The matter is a bit technical. If you do not understand, don't worry. We will create a time to have after this class, the next class, for people to ask questions regarding these matters. Because our time is already fast spent. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, فَمَنْ اِبْتَدْعَ مِنْهُمْ dalala. Anyone who now innovates an innovation that has to do with kufur, kana ala ahli al-qiblati kharija, that person is rebelling against the rest of the people of qibla. We know who ahli al-qibla are. If the person innovates a bid'ah that has to do with kufur, such as the one from the man from India innovated, he says the Prophet of Allah, Ghulam al-Qadiyani. He says he is a Nabi. Later he says he's a prophet. When a person innovates misguidance like this, we are going to disconnect from him. Not only that, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in his book Aqidat Ahli Sunnah al-Jama'ah, he says any person who believes this kind of a person is a kafir with him. Because he has got dalalako or any such innovation. فَمَنْ اِبْتَدَعَ مِنْهُمْ ضَلَالًا. Anyone who now innovates misguidance of kufr amongst them, كَانَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْكِبْلَةِ خَارِجًا, he is rebelling against the rest of the people of Qibla. وَمِنَ الدِّينِ مَارِقًا, he is running fast out of the deen. وَمِنَ الدِّينِ مَارِقًا الْمُرُوْءُ السَّرِيعِ. المروق, somebody is making muruq, يَمُرُّ السَّرِيعًا, is running, like he said in that hadith when he talked about the Khawarij. The messenger says, يَمْرُكُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ, they run away from the deen, كَمَا يَمْرُكُ السَّهْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيعِ, as the arrow gets out of the sighted object. How does it go? Fast. It goes fast, quick. So those who innovate such innovations, they are going quickly out of the religion. May Allah protect us from that. He says, وَمِنَ الدِّينِ مَارِقًا, they are running away from the deen. وَيُتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْهُ, we are going to make ibadah, we are going to seek nearness to Allah by boycotting such individuals. Like we mentioned in the second category, the first category of those who will boycott, you remember them? Those who will boycott their sin, the place they commit the sin, and will boycott them when they are committing the sin. The second category, those who show or whose sin become popular, we are going to boycott them. The second group of those, this is in the second group, those who innovate major things that lead people out of Islam. They fall in the second category. We are going to boycott them. One of those who were boycotted was Al-Imam Thawr. Thawr ibn Yazid was boycotted by Imam al-Awza'i. And they were friends. Thawr saw al-Awza'i Abdul Rahman. And he extended his hand to shake him. Imam al-Awza'i said, no, I will not shake you. He says, ya Thawr, لو كانت الدنيا لكانت المقاربة. It is to say, matter of worldly affair. We are close, وَلَكِنَّهُ الدِّينِ, but because of deen, I will not shake you. So this is the position we are going to also display to those whose sins become popular, especially when they become recalcitrant. Say, I don't care. We have to do this to them so that they become to care, like Thawr cared. And Imam Zahid in Sir Alam Nubala mentioned that Thawr ibn Yazid later turned away from his Qadariyya. He left Qadariyya and became from amongst the people of Sunnah. That is what Azhabi said in Sir Alam Nubala, rahimahullah. Even though Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Tahzib al-Tahzib rejected it, that it was not correct that Thawr ibn Yazid actually repented. But the point of reference is that if a person is boycotted like this, it usually agitates them to want to repent, as was in the case of Thawr. So this Imam said, وَيُتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنْهُ, we are going to seek nearness to Allah by avoiding him. وَيُهُجَارُ, we are going to avoid him. We are going to boycott him. We are going to abstain from him. وَيُفْتَقَرُ, we are going to disgrace him. We disgrace him. Somebody who innovates an innovation that takes people out of Islam, or somebody who commits a sin, a fahisha that became popular, and the entirety of the town and city became aware of his sin, and quite unfortunately is high-headed regarding this thing. We are going to boycott them. When we boycott them, it is ibadah. يُتَقَرَّبُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And that's why, my dear brothers, it must be with ikhlas. Because you cannot seek nearness to Allah without ikhlas. Yes, it is ibadah, but you must have ikhlas with it that you are doing it for the sake of Allah. So that when he repents, you reconcile. Once he repents, you reconcile. But if he does not repent, you become more stringent with him. May Allah protect us. So the Imam says, وَيُجَرْ وَيُفْتَقَرْ. Such persons will be abandoned and will be disgraced. There are asar, but we do not have sufficient time regarding it. He says, وَتُجْتَنَبُ غُدَّتُهُ. We are going to avoid his infection. Because innovation and sins are what? Infections. تُجْتَنَبُ غُدَّتُهُ. They are contagious. We will avoid it. فَهِيَ أَعْدَى مِنْ غُدَّةِ الْجَرَبِ. They are more fast spreading than scabies. You know scabies? If a person has an innovation, you sit with him, by the time you know he has infected you, may Allah protect us. That is why the ulama say, don't sit with them. Because huwa mulaqqanun hujjatahu. His hujjah, he has practiced it severally. Or he has been taught his hujjah severally. So when you sit with him, he knows what to tell you. Ulama say, don't sit with them. Don't ask them questions. When they sit down with you, and Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, one among the people of innovations, came to him. So let me tell you one word. He said, don't tell me. Go away. So let me tell you. He said, no, don't tell me. Let me tell you. He stood up, put his hand in his ear, and ran away. Why? لِأَنَّ مُجَالَسَتَهُمْ مُمَرِّضَةٌ لِلْقُلُوبِ. It brings sickness to the heart. As Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma. So when you sit with a person of innovation, you marry the qalbaka. He will bring sickness to you. Just like those who will hear that Dajjal is out. When they hear that Dajjal has emerged, what are they supposed to do? They are supposed to run away. If you are in Ede, you hear that Dajjal is come, come to Oshobo, run to Elisha. Don't let him meet you and don't want to meet him. But the messenger told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there are some of the people, they will say, my friend, they say the jail is out. Can we stroll down to have a look? They will go as Muslims, but they will return as kuffar. You don't say you want to sit down in front of Maftun. He will bring his fitna to you. Avoid him and keep away. The time is already far spent. We spent the time and we were in a haste. I'm sure we left out a lot of things, but perhaps at question time, Allah will make us remember from the questions of the brothers. But these are general rules regarding how to deal with people of sin and the people of innovation. I ask Allah to make us understand better than I tried to explain. Inshallah, if we have one, two questions we'll take today, perhaps, inshallah, in our next class, we'll accommodate more questions. If we have one or two questions, or something, an area we should mention, we did not remember to mention. If you mention it, we may remember to mention it, inshallah. Alaykum salam. You are of the opinion that what? Now? I didn't hear what you said. Do you have that opinion? You are of the belief. It's more than an opinion. It is iman that the Muslims will not remain in the fire forever. Allah will bring them out. So you don't say opinion. Because another person can have his own opinion. So we are of the belief that. Amen. Now, Surah Al-Baqarah. Any ayah you see in the Quran, use the one that is not there with it to explain it. Do you understand? Whatever verse that appears to show that any Muslim or a person who enters the fire will remain in the fire forever. Use the one and the ahadith that indicate that they will come out. Use it to explain that verse, which will mean that you use the sunnah to explain the Quran. Do you understand? Because Allah did not reveal the Quran alone. And even in the Quran itself, there are verses of the Quran that indicate that. Do you understand? Whatever verse, employ the ahadith that indicate that Allah will bring them from the fire. Use it to explain that verse you have. And have it in mind that staying in the hell forever in that verse will mean staying in the hell for a long time. Okay? Naam. Alaykum as-salam. Before we call someone a kafir, what can we see from a person before we say somebody is a kafir? We explained it. When he rejects anything from what the messenger came with, tazweed. They use tazweed because it's not only the only branch of kufur, but because many of the rest of the branches of kufur will in the end come under tazweed. Okay? We explained it at the beginning. Now, those who commit bid'ah, or who do what? Now, yes, we can refer to them as Ahlul Bid'ah, but it does not mean that they are kafir. This is the point we are mentioning here. Alaykum as-salam. This way, this time. Now, what are the punishments? The one that is mufassiqah, the people may be punished in the fire if Allah decides not to forgive them. But what it means is that at the end of the day, Allah will bring them out of the fire. That is bid'atun mufassiqah. But bid'atun mukaffirah, it means that person is a kafir, and kufar will remain in the fire forever. May Allah protect us. Alaykum as-salam. Can we refer to an evildoer as Fajir or Fasik or Dajjal? Yes, the books of Rijal, the books of Tariq are filled up with these. It says somebody is Kazab, liar. Somebody is Dajjal. Those they refer to as Dajjal are the ardent liar, chronic liar. The ulama refer to them as Dajjal. It doesn't also mean that they are kufar. The messenger himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in my ummah, 30 people will come. Hum Dajjal, hum kazzabun al-dajjalun. They are liars and ardent liars. They will claim to be prophets. The messenger himself referred to them as what? Kazzabun al-dajjalun. Yes, he says they are in his ummah. It means you can find people in the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, ummatul ijaba, amongst the Muslims, who will be called Dajjal, Kazzab, Affar, Shaitan. Yes, there are people who are referred to as Shaitan. It does not mean they are making takfir, directly or indirectly. The last question. Alaykum as-salam. You are not in the last class. An amount of what? Shirk. What type of shirk? Like divination. We discussed this under Nawakidul Islam. It's right. You are around. Go back to the audience. Last question now. Alaykum salam. That brother was talking, we stopped him. Last question, please. One. Why you make dua? Should we say Allah Fatiha? Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymeen said it's an innovation. What you should do is bring the Fatiha first, because you are using it for tawassul. You are reading it because Allah says, "Wabtaghu ilayhi alwasilata wajahidu fi sabili." When you seek something from Allah, push forward something first. So you push forward for something that will bring you nearer to Allah, because it is worship. So you have a higher ground now to ask. Not after you are asking, you are now pushing something ahead. What comes like that is making salat on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. There is hadith on that. And Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned it in Jala'ul Afham or Jila'ul Afham. But he mentioned that the hadith is weak. But there is another hadith, Sheikh Mashur Hassan al-Salman graded as Hassan, that when we mention dua, we should add salat and salam on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. So when you make dua, don't forget to say salat and salam on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other ahadith that indicate that when you say salat and salam on the messenger during your dua, it is most likely that it will have quicker acceptance than when you don't mention salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that one can come at the end, not surah. But if you use it to start also, it may not be wrong by way of starting by asking salat and salam on the messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. But don't forget that the hadith on that is weak. Law alam, we stop here today. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. آمين.